Wonderful Jesus, bless the Lord. Father,
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for today.
Amen.
Thank you for your love, Lord.
Amen.
Your love, agape. Not just brotherly kindness, Lord, but agape. To be real in every one of our hearts, Father. The Lord, we are really a part of your family. And we need, Lord, to understand this. And my heart desire, Lord, that everyone in this fellowship be really one family of God. And also part of the whole universal family of God. Loving one another, edifying, helping one another, praying for one another, supporting. Father, I pray that to be. And as you approach the word of God today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will just bring to light, Lord, the life of the faith that you've given us. For this I ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's have to go to the book of James again. But last week I end up with what James says about faith without work is dead. But let's go to James chapter 2, and I want to look into one verse as we continue from there. We all know that faith without work is dead. And but there is one place in a verse here in James chapter 2 verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead. So the body without the spirit is dead. It's talking about our physical body. If our body, of course, if the spirit of life leaves us, it is dead. And so the same thing with the body of Christ. If there is no spirit of love or agape of God in the church is dead, spiritually dead. So the same thing, James then, for he said, the faith without work is dead also. So we all know what James had, we study what James was trying to tell us, that the example he gave about Abraham, how that God tested Abraham, and how that Abraham obeyed. And so because of his faith, he was willing. The word work means to put into action. Show me your faith and I show you my faith with my works, with my action. And so Abraham did that and sacrificed Isaac as God desired him to do it, testing his faith. And so when we talk about this love of the faith, therefore it is important that we must put to work, must bring forth the manifestation of that life of the faith. And this is what God did. And so when we talk about the faith, we are talking about the faith of God. Not just our faith in God, no. But we are talking about the faith of God, we are talking about the revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. I emphasize that again and again to let you understand. We're not talking just about faith. I have faith in God. I have faith in Christ. Now, it's not just having faith. It's just have the faith of God. Have that revelation of God. And you know what God did? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was God's revelation. Some revelation come into play. You see? So God have that faith, that revelation of himself. And he wanted to be the creator, so he became the creator. So he wanted to be the savior, so he manifested, you know, the savior, we call it savorhood, or savior, what do you call that? Savior sheep, savorhood. You know, to be a savior. And so that's why he put himself to work the life of his own faith, his own revelation of who he is. So if you know who you are, I'm not talking about you being, you know, as you are in the natural, but who you are in Christ, who you are in the Lord. If you know who you are, then that life that comes from God, that Zoe life, the original life that came from God into your spirit, and you're quickened, you're made alive, you're born again, then you're going to manifest that life. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? It has to be real. And that's what Jesus Christ, the Bible said, God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God himself worked. As Jesus said, my Father worked hitherto, right? And so I work. Work what? Manifest the work. Manifest that life. So the same that you all must, we all must manifest that life. It's natural. Like a sheep. You don't have to tell them to go and produce wool. They will produce wool. They manifest that life. They know that they are sheep and the wool will come forth from their body. They will produce wool. You don't have to tell the sheep, or the sheep cannot tell themselves, I'm going to try to produce wool. No, you naturally produce wool. So do you understand what I'm getting at now? So next point we're talking about is the cultivation of knowledge. This is important for us because God said in the Old Testament, people perish for lack of knowledge. Now we're not talking about the knowledge of the world. We're not talking about the knowledge of just being a student in the university, you know, or being a scientist that I have the knowledge of how science works, how the chemistry works, and how the whole universe works, and how the vaccine work. And no, we're not talking about that kind of knowledge. We're talking about the knowledge of God, of who you are, who God is, what is our purpose here on earth, and all these things that happened. That brought into creation, blood came into this whole universe. So what is the purpose of it? Life came into the universe. I'm not saying that the life came upon this earth. I'm saying the life came into the whole universe. Do you know that there is life up there in the universe? If you say, oh, Brother Graham, you said that there's no life up there. Except, oh, no, now you're saying that life is in your universe. Yeah, there's life in the universe. Because the whole spirit of God's life is in this whole universe. That's why the earth, I mean, all the planet and the galaxy and all those things that's out there, God has set a path for them to move. Is that right? And you know, back in the, you know, scientists always fearful that maybe there's a meteor or an asteroid that will hit the earth again and will cause this earth to go into what we call a ice age, yeah. You know? So they're always watching, and so if there is an asteroid hit coming towards the earth, a meteor, they will send a rock. A missile out there to blast it off the way or something like that. I think that's all the movie that's been made by Hollywood too. Indeed, God is watching. So what are we afraid? God is watching this earth, especially when this earth is made for man to live. And a man is his masterpiece. There is no creature on earth that has their intelligence. That today we can see how man has become like God, more like God every day as it passes by, you know, how they make all those technology that, oh my, now they can even get the, you know, build a robot, they can do operation for the surgeon. And they have surprised their DNA and RNA and all the, you know, all the genome, all those genes of, oh, the codes of them. You see. So that's why those who are more, those scientists who are very concerned about this CRISPR. You know, how they have produce or discharge, they can tell what to where to splice, to take a certain portion of the genetic material and put it somewhere else, and so that the person who, a child who is, the fetus or the unborn baby that is in the mother's womb, have certain possibility that he might be autistic or that he might be born with a defect, they can actually repair that even before the child is born. So men have come to a state where they can play God. And years ago, I think, I don't know how many years ago now, maybe about 50 years ago or 3 years ago, I can't remember. Remember Dolly the sheep? You all remember the cloning thing? There was a lot of hoo-ha over that issue too. You know. But you see, men, we are in the image of God. Men, for us as Christians, we need to cultivate, to learn. You know, I'm using the word cultivate, or cultivation of knowledge. It's just like a farmer or a gardener, he cultivates his field or his garden so that he can get the fruit of that plant or the tree to grow the way that he wanted it to grow. That he expects that plant to produce, or that seed that he sowed to come forth. So let us go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. We're going through this verse 1 to 11. We're still going back and forth because I always want to point out something here and there to make it deeper for you. Because many times we read the Bible, we say, oh, we understand, we learn something, so we understand. You know something? You know, sometimes when I teach, I ask you a question here. But of course, some of you respond, some of you just go on, sure, or whatever. That's okay. My method of teaching, sometimes, a brother overseas asks me a question, either they text me or send an email. Even on Facebook now, they ask me questions. So I don't always answer your question or their question with a direct answer. Always, most of the time, I would answer with a question. And sometimes the brother get a little upset. I'm asking a question, now you're asking me a question. the thing is that I ask a question is because I want to know how, what is your understanding all these years as a believer, how much you know. So I could assess you that if you have been a believer for 30 years and yet you are still backwards, not knowing the simple thing. And I said, well, what have you been learning? Remember Jesus asked, answer question with question. Do you remember that many times, right? The Pharisee asked him, and he answered them with a question. You see? And even men like Nicodemus, well, he is religious, but at least he got some spiritual insight to understand, to know who this man Jesus really is. When you heard him, preached and taught. So he came to Jesus by night and asked him, asked Jesus how to enter into the kingdom of God and to eternal life. And Jesus said, he must be born again. And, his mind goes, he's spinning, trying to figure out what on earth is he talking about being born again. So he answered the Lord and said, well, you mean said I had to go back to my mother's womb? And Jesus then rebuked him, right? Because you are supposed to be a teacher and you don't even know these things. And you said, that's why, as I said, many of us who are supposed to be believers for so long, and we don't know the answer, simple questions they put to us, or even truth is taught to us, and we don't understand it. So, what went wrong is because we don't cultivate for knowledge. We don't want to gain knowledge. We don't want to really look into it and understand it. Alright, so chapter 1, 2 Peter, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant of and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here, remember, I want you to pick up some of this verse, because sometimes we just read through it. I want you to pick up this so you underline, you look at it, and so you don't know. You can really place in your mind. Okay, to whom? To them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. And he says that this is through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it has nothing to do with your righteousness. We have no righteousness in us except that which is given to us by Jesus Christ, by God, right? Remember, let me ask you that. Yeah, I know, sometime back, Brother Andrew Peary and Brother Nice, because they require my what we call the thoughts on some of the things to give them some input. I mean, regarding certain confusion that has been going on even until now, regarding certain group that, you know, deviating from the truth now and going to say that there's no rapture and we are going through the tribulation and Brother Abraham is not in Revelation 10:7 and many other things. So while we were on Zoom, because they required, so I have to help them understand that, spend about almost 2 hours sharing. So at one stage when the question was asked, and you know, about certain of those points that were raised up by those group that's been going away from the truth, and I asked, I posed the question to Brown Eyes, are you righteous? Are you righteous now? I asked him. Brother Andrew Peary began to laugh. Let me ask you, are you righteous? Kind of hard running question. Yeah?
Yes, yes,
yes. We are righteous because what God has given us. You know, but as a sinner born into this world, I am not righteous. But being that I am born again, God has given, imputed upon me righteousness in Christ Jesus. So I'm made righteous by God. And yes, Peter here said, that's why I just said, through the righteousness of God. And another place where we are made righteous is Abraham believed God, so it was imputed upon him righteousness. So we believe in Christ, so it is imputed upon us righteousness. And that righteousness is the righteousness of God given to us. And yet we are waiting for that reality to happen where our body will change to prove that we have it. That's why now people said, you have eternal life? Of course eternal I have. Right now, I don't wait until I die to get eternal life. Is that right?
Yes.
You see? But when the day I rise, then you see that I really have it to prove it. Alright. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see the importance of that. Multiply unto you. That's all Paul talks in his own epistle. He says, we move from glory to glory. We have to multiply, you know, the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God to multiply the knowledge of Him. So we get to have knowledge more about God, more about Jesus. The song that we sing, more and more about Jesus, will I know? Huh? According as His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, remember this. So, the life of faith is deals with things that pertain unto life and godliness. So, you said you had the faith. Where is that life? So, the life must be manifest. And the manifestation will show your place in Christ. Through the knowledge of Him. And there's no other way that you can you know, really manifest the life of Christ, the life of God, or your faith, unless you have the knowledge of God who have called us to glory and virtue. Now all these effects, all these are done deal as far as I'm concerned. Do you understand what he's saying here? He has called us to glory and virtue. Everything that God has predestinated, he is already considered done. Huh? Only that we have to manifest it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by this ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You might be partaker of the divine nature. Now if God has given us this, are you not partaking of the divine nature? You are sons and daughters of God. It's not that I have to wait until, you know, I'm resurrected or see Christ, then I'm the son and daughters of God. No, I am the sons and we are sons and daughters of God right now. And besides this giving, all diligence, that is, with speed, diligence, eagerness, you know. So, give all diligence, add to your faith. See, we already have the faith. That's the first thing that is the foundation. We have this faith already, but is there life in it? Yeah, many, you know, that comes to the gospel, as I said many times, this is very well known. Billy Graham said that, you come to a city for 6 days and 6,000 people come forward and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they come forward to the altar call, he said, when I come back 6 months, you know, what I see is six of these 6,000. You see? So they are Lord, and then they come, but there's no life in it. It just as a soul went forth to sow, remember? What kind of ground are you? If a ground, are you a prepared ground? As the Bible says, many are called to hear the gospel, to accept Christ, but few are chosen. Now, are you called? Okay, you're called. But are you chosen? That's the most important thing. So if we know that we are chosen, not because we are called just because we come to the church and Nick said, well, I'm chosen because I come to the church. No. I come to church because there is something with me that I want to know more about God. I come here to fellowship because I want to know more about God. I want to know the family of God. I want to know the knowledge of God and so on and so forth. So this lie should be real. So once you know that you are called and you are chosen, then you should know who you are. And manifest it. So add to the faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape. Yes, right, you translate the word agape in the Bible, they translate charity, which is not a good word because it doesn't have the sense of what the word agape is. In God's love. But if this thing be, for if this thing be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Lord Jesus. That's very true. That's why, as James says, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith in my works. That faith is alive. It's alive. It's a seed. The faith is a seed word. Now, sometimes, you know, how the Bible gives us all this connotation, you know, all this word, they are linked together. Word. In the beginning was the word. Logos. The English word doesn't mean anything. It's just word. But the word logos in the Greek word tells you that it is the expression of God, the self-revelation of God. God revealing Himself. It's another word that in the Greek will make you to understand in the connotation of the word logos is monogene. You know monogene, right? One. Mono. Gene. One. See. The gene. So from out of God came forth the monogene to bring forth life. Hey, so strange, isn't it? The Bible said in the book of Galatians that God counseled with Himself. And after He counseled with Himself, you know, He counseled what He wanted to do and what He wanted to be to manifest Himself. I mean, there are a lot of counseling going on. There are a lot of unspoken word because there are thoughts. Thoughts are words being formed or action that He wanted to do. And yet, we call it monogene. Or logos. That one word. As Jesus said, unless a grain of corn falls into the ground and die, it will not bring forth much fruit. That just that one seed. One. You see. So the whole of everything that is the whole universe that you see with our eyes, or how far your eye can see with the telescope or sending out all those probes out there to the last far corners of the universe, wherever it is supposed to be, the last corner. All this are from that one seed. Because that one word that was planted, the one thought of what God wants to do, expand it out, is revealed to us. So now, when that seed came in, the Bible here said here in verse 8, for if this thing be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of that one seed that we have all this understanding. We cannot be barren. We cannot be unfruitful. Because from that one seed, let there be light. From that one seed, let there be earth. Let there be this. Let there be. It just come forth. So, in that one seed, let there be in you and me virtue, diligence, knowledge, patience, temperance. All these things must come forth. That's the real life of the faith. And the last thing of all that is most important out of all these, you know, virtues here is agape. And all this came by the grace of God to you and me. Because He chose you. And you are the good ground, the seed that falls upon you. So from that bring forth all this. And the final thing that God is looking at, as Peter here said, is agape. Now I know a lot of people have patience, some do not have, of course, still working on it, right? Some of you are not patient, still working on it. Because you can see, He is still working on me. Yeah, He took God 1 week to create the whole universe and you know, things like that. But He is still working on me. How long does He work on us? Wow! 1 week to create the whole heavens and earth, and it takes God how many years to still dealing with us? Amen. And you know, we still give excuses, right? He is still working on me. You know, if you see, don't want the thing you don't like to see about me. Remember, I still have an unfinishing part. You know the song? He's still working on. I know the song is just telling us what it is, but don't take the song as scripture that you can say, you know, I'm imperfect, you know. But children, the thing about this, your knowledge of God, your temperament, your patience, godliness, and brother, but most of all, remember one thing is the agape. As Abraham said, this, make this statement, he said, without agape, you cannot make it in. Because that is a cutting stone. That is the final result of what that word is. Remember, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Bible also said God is love. Amen. And God is, what do you say, you take the word seed. Huh? And that it is because of that one seed that died for you, that's love. So that word is love. God is love. So this is what God is looking upon, looking for in us. You know, love. And I pray that's what I want our fellowship to be. Brother and sister, to be able to consider love. Oh yeah, brother, you gotta have love. But see, love has many that promise to do the thing that is right. Remember I said it's a faith that you act accordingly. You see the church needs something. And you see the need that there is in the church. Immediately. Put your life into action to support that. To do it. Don't wait for some other brother. Maybe their brother will help, their sister will help. Be the first. And that's what is lacking in this fellowship. You know. That's very true. On Friday, you all have your fellowship. I listened to it. And I heard Brother Paul was saying, or what Sister Nancy was testifying. You know that she found Brother Paul was so stressed out. You know, helping me to prepare the message, and, you know, for sharing and things like that. And that is very true because, you see, when, as the Bible tells us, when a member of the body suffered, everyone suffered together. Correct? But when you see the member of the body is suffering, other members of the body should be able to come in to help. So now I take, you know, time off from Friday. I hope that my throat gets better so that I could go back. But sometimes I still have this that comes on. But the thing is this. When I heard what was shared on Friday, I just wonder. My mind goes by. You know, I take my time machine. Sometimes, many times, I just in my office, I'm not about to do, I started to flip on my time machine and go back into history. Take a time machine right to the history. And I look down. Because you cannot change history. But look now at the time when I came to the message. And then how the Lord gave me this ministry to do. Wow. There's all this rush to me to get the things done. And God just guide us, you know, in a way that I didn't expect it. You know how the testimony I have given and shared with you? How we got that sacral study machine, the mammographing machine? Which of course is not possible for us to get because we have no money. We don't have much money rather to save because there's all this installment due that you have to pay so much down payment and every month pay so much within 1 year. And I said, we don't have the kind of money. And the salesman came and talked with me and I told him, I said, then he asked me, how much can you put? I said, I can only put $100 down payment. You know, when you put down payment, it's supposed to be about 20% of the whole total. I said, that's a lot because we cannot have. At that time, I think the machine cost about nearly $2,000. So 20% of that is about $200 plus. You know, I said, I don't have that money. And only that $200 down payment something, and then you have to pay like $100 or something like that every month for a year or something like that. 1 year, 6 months, something. I said, I don't have that. He said, how much can you put down payment? And how much installment can you put? I said, I can pass. I put $100 down payment and $60 a month. Now he calculated. He said, that's not possible, you know. But anyway, what do you want it for? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm going to print some Bible articles, some, you know, Christian articles into, you know, booklet, making a booklet, and I'm going to send it out. Yeah, okay. And he went and talked to the CEO, director, whoever, the management out there, you know, Gatstenner, in those days, Gatstenner, and Gatstenner no longer exists, he says. And he came back and, you know, and he said, oh, surprising, you got it. $100, okay. You can put $100 payment and $60 a month. Whoa. Not only that, he can bring the machine, he gave me few reams of paper to start printing. And you know what? I work in a hospital. That time I was working, 24-hour shift. Yeah. And many times I had to rush back home, start to print, start to type the message into the night. Stressed out. Yeah, I stressed out. Having to work, come back and prepare and try to summon as well. So by and by, as time goes on, it's the same. It's a lot of work here, a lot of work there, until the Lord says, stop working as a nurse. Start traveling. You know. So you know how it is when you put your, if you see the need in the church. That's why it's good that brothers, we have time to share something. Share. If a sister have a testimony of something, you know, backdated in history, how the Lord touches you, whatever, you can share it too. This is all the edifying the body. Remember what Paul said? If you have come together, if you have a revelation, share it. If you have a testimony, share it. Is that right? Whatever you have, edify the church, the body. Nothing that is too small, that you think is insignificant. They say, oh, I don't want to say anything, this is not important. Whatever little thing, just share. Do you understand that? Alright. Verse 9, for he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So, if you are not fruitful, the life is not there of the faith. Now, I'm not talking about, as I said, you're not just talking about your spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. No. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking about the life. Because the fruit, many people can produce it. Non-Christian can produce some of those fruit as well. You all know that, don't you? You see. So, if you like this thing, you're blind. And you cannot see afar off. Of course, many people that, that's why, you know, talk to many Christians about the truth. They find it hard to look ahead. They cannot see far off into what God is doing. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you understanding? Are you diligently, you know, examining and says, my life or the faith realm? Do I live the life? Because if I have this calling, if I'm elected of God, that fruit supposed to be real. Not just a fruit of the Spirit, but of the faith. What the Word teaches. Because the further that we move on, you know, in this journey, we should see better. You know, I know that denominational Christian, nominal Christian, even the moment, you know, you see the moment, the life that they live. I admire them. Many times I admire these moment people. Of course, they were reject in what they believe because they have this code, this regulation, things like that. But they live that life according to the moment standard, and they produce that what you see. So likewise, all the other Christian and all, even the religions that you find in the world. But the reality of the things that we have, we receive from God in this message, how do we walk in it? Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence, make your calling and election sure. You make sure that you have it. Make sure that it is real. Make sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never fall. You know, there are many Christians in this message fall. They fell away already, many of them. I got a text from Brother Nice, and he told me what happened to Brother Pierre. By the way, Brother Pierre, you know, who's problem with his feet is getting better now. And I call him up also to find out what happened. You know, Brother Nice first told me that there was this sister in Morocco that Brother Pierre got the message to her. She was a Muslim and she believed the message. But recently, something happened. I don't know where she got that influence from. From whichever group. Brother Nice told me. Brother Pierre was devastated, you know, feel sad because what happened? That this sister started to be, I mean, being influenced by a group. Is when I said it was under Lee Bayer's group. Because according to what she found was that Brother Bram said, if you find, you want to know a good teacher, that is Lee Bayer. And so I don't know what she had been influenced with, and she took my book and tear it up and took a video of it and shared it with those group. You know. See, this is not the first time a person who came to the truth for a couple of years then fell away. Tear up my books. I mean, my book has been torn up by many people. Huh? Even here in Singapore, they have torn it. They have tear it up. What about in Africa? Just like I said this before. If he lack, cannot be deceived. As many of them say, oh, Brother Bram say he lack, cannot be deceived. But they said, don't read Brother Gunn's book. Don't read Jackson's contentment. Don't read this, don't read that. You will be deceived. What is that? You're putting fear on people? Just what's going on out there in the world today? What you have over there in America recently about this campaign, and Trump say one thing, Biden say one thing, and all giving fear upon people. You know what I'm saying? And even here in Singapore too, some people say, don't vote for this, don't vote for that, you don't get this, don't get that. So there are a lot of this thing that the fear being put upon people. And so we are living in the time when people's hearts are failing for fear. The uncertainty, and somebody says something, hey, remember that, Brother Bram says, stay with the message. So, I stay with the message of Brother Bram, I quote what Brother Bram said. I recently had an email from someone in England, UK. And he said, I came across a website, I look at it, I like it, but I wanted to print out the article to read, but I can't print it out because some of your texts are, you know, light color, so you print up would not be light. I guess he must be using color printer. When you print color printer, you should select black so that every word, whether it's print or not, should be able to print it out. But anyway, he corresponded with me and said, okay, you can go and download from the PDF file. So he downloaded some and he wrote me and said, I've downloaded several. I love your message. It's so wonderful. I never come across such and such a thing. You know? So then I sent him a song. It's a wonderful time. He said, you're so catchy, my wife, who go as a Methodist, go to Methodist church and you go sing in the morning and all that. And then he said, oh, I went and Googled, you know, you mentioned in your book, The Coming of Christ, that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ's first coming, William Branham was the one forerunning his second coming. And I Googled William Branham and I found out there are a lot of things about William Branham, all about people say this and that. And I reply him, I say, yes, he's a very controversial person. People are messed up. There are people that just take him, every word he said to be absolute, and deal with that. You see, if there is no influence from the world, no influence from churches or any so-called smart, alecky preacher, that put fear on people, That's why I said if the message would go to any country in the world where the American spirits, where those preachers already who were so close about me spread all that thing about William Branham, and many of them, as I said already, fell away. And if I have rejected completely what they stood for years, I know already a couple of them. They are no more. Those that even challenged me there in Africa, they are no more. Those who have been around for 20, 30 years preaching very hard the stand of what Brother Abraham said, they are no more. I said this many times. Your foundation is not the word of Brother Abraham.
Amen.
Your foundation is Christ, the word of God. And how do you have the foundation laid properly for you? There are a lot of people who do not understand. Oh, so but again, there's only one foundation. I'm saying in the word. You say the word. How do you stand? The denomination out there, they say that Christ is the only foundation. The only foundation. The only foundation. And they are standing upon the word of Christ. But why are they so messed up? Like in the end time message? You see, people do not know the plan and purpose of God. That's why I say, God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
They do not know the plan and the purpose of God. I was, you know, I used the word, the plan and the purpose of God for many years. And you know, people doesn't understand. You have the message calling you to come out from the system. And whether you be whatever religion you have out there, or maybe you are an atheist and you don't believe in God, but you heard the truth, you come into Christ. And when you are in a system out there, in the denomination that you are kept under that traditional teaching, kids and dogma, you heard the message, you call you out and come back to the Word. So you come back to the Word. Yeah, everybody said, already come back to the Word, so what? Back to the apostolic father's faith. Did not Malachi said to turn the heart of the children back to the father. In the days of John, he was turning the heart of those religious father to the children, to those new converts of John who have received the gospel that John preached. John is turning those religious men's heart to the faith of the children. Because these are simple folk, they heard the message, the gospel, and they believe. And those children grow up to be fathers. And they are the apostles. And they lay the foundation. But again, there's only one foundation. Oh, how foolish are many people out there? They don't understand the foundation. There's only one foundation, that is Christ. That no man, no other foundation can any man lay but that one faith, one foundation, that is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But the Bible also said, Paul said, oh, Paul must be a false prophet then. You see, the problem is that if we said this, if you were there, Paul's there, you will find that you're very hard to understand if you are not an elect. Huh? The church is laid upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Why he said that? The foundations. You hear that? Of the apostles and prophets. Some people say, oh, they're probably in the Old Testament problem. No. You see, God has put the apostles in the first place, putting the prophetic ministry second. And the prophetic ministry is one that conformed to what the apostles said. That's why the Bible in the book of Acts 13, you read that. There were prophets and teachers in those days, right? They were sent out there to prophesy, to confirm the gospel message that were preached. You see? And the prophet always teach them about what the prophetic word said regarding the Messiah, regarding what was to come and all this. Confirming what the apostles said. So we are in the end time now. And the church was all messed up. We are coming back to the word. And so we have to go back. So where is the restoration of the foundation? And I said this in my book, The Foundation on the Wall. Huh? It was broken down by the Church of Rome. They removed this stone away, moved the stones away in the place of the one true God, put a Trinity. Remove the stone of water baptism in Jesus' name with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Huh? And knowing that there is only one intercessor between God and man, and that's Christ, they removed that and put Mary on it. When you have any need in your journey, or any need, for example, in your travel, you will recall, you put your faith in the Lord, you pray to the Lord to keep you, right? But no, instead, they put St. Patrick. All the different saints, this saint is for this, saint is for that, this saint is for that. Hey, they're all dead saints. If there ever, those are saints. See, God don't have dead saints. God only have living saints. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, Brother Gunn, you're saying that there's no dead saints and no, there's no dead saints. What about Abraham? What about Peter? Are they dead? Or are they over on that side? If they are there on that side, can you cause this chasm that separates us from that dimension? Can you cross into that dimension to visit Peter or to visit Mary and praying, saying that Mary's heart is more tender than the heart of Jesus? Then Mary should die for you. You see, these dogmas were torn away. So over the year, the church, you know, through Reformation, little bit put back. But you know, it's not fully revealed many places of truth. Mysteries are still unfolding. That's why the apostle ministry comes back into play. Let the church, let the word, what will the Bible will say, hold the reign of the word of God. Already divine it. So that people can have an understanding about the plan and the purpose of God. See, if you don't have the plan or purpose of God, what then are you? You're lost to it. Let's continue. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Yeah, that's what I want you to understand. If you follow the word of God, the more that you follow the word, you see, that's why God sent a message. So that you can see this entrance of life coming. And then when you get it, go to the word of God. And when you go to the word, you see the present truth ministry unfolding. More of the word of God to you.
Amen.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, when we say all these things about the life of the faith, you... Okay, let's read that verse first. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. For we would not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Here Paul is talking about the measure of what was given to us. We will not boast of things beyond our measure. That is to say, without our measure. We will not boast of things beyond measure that is given to us. Now, Paul is talking about his apostleship. Do you understand? Now, there are people that try to impress. Every one of us is given a measure of faith. Right? Amen. It's not a measure of faith, but a measure of your position, your standing. Paul, for example, was given the apostolic measure. Right? And some are given, you know, as Bible, the 5-4 ministry, some are given apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. So, if you are called to be an evangelist, can you try to be an apostle? You cannot. If you are a missionary, oh, if Paul Bam said missionary, a missionary is an apostle. Because Paul Bam said that, that people just grab the, oh, I'm a missionary. So, pastor, go overseas, go to another place. I'm a missionary, I'm an apostle. And they start to try to be an apostle by teaching. Don't know what on earth they are teaching. They are all these things. And that's why big men especially, the same things that they have to claim certain things. That's what's on a website, many websites are against William Branham, trying to expose William Branham as a false prophet. You know, I feel so, I feel for that, because these people do not know what they are doing. They are writing articles, they think they know what they are writing, but they do not know. Brother Branham was not the one to be blamed, but they blame it on him. That's why I wrote it in my article on my website. Don't blame it on William Branham. People say that the problem with the anti-message people is that, you know, whatever the Branhamites are doing, it is because of William Branham. Oh, really? Then I could blame it on, you know, some people could go and dig up, try to, you know, oh, well, let me put it in a better way then. That is, if Jesus Christ on that day when he said, unless you eat my blood, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life, right? He preached that, he said that. So if I'm a nutcase man, that I'm dead hearing him said that, I'm desperate for eternal life, I will kill Jesus right there and cut off his flesh, eat it, and drink his blood. Would you say that what my action, what I'm doing that, is because of what Jesus said? Can you blame it on Jesus for my action? Because he said that? Are you following what I'm saying? Because he said that. Jesus said that. Unless I eat his flesh and drink his blood, I don't have eternal life. And I'm desperate for eternal life. So down there, I'm here, I'm one of the people in the crowd, heard him say that, I'm just going crazy. Doesn't know what I'm doing, perhaps. Perhaps I was so desperate for eternal life, I step in, cut him up, eat his blood, drink his blood. And there might be other, might be thinking the same. And eat up the flesh of Christ and drink his blood. Then what? And he goes out into the, not the Straits time, but the Roman times. Prophet Jesus of Nazareth died. He disowned it. Because he said so. Because his followers did what he said. You see, the Branhamite did all those things, taught all those nonsense, and they are blamed. I mean, Brother Branham is blamed for all that teaching. It's just today, what do we have? All kinds of teaching. The Trinity? Who do you blame? You blame on Jesus? Because Jesus said that, right? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize and then follow Son Holy Ghost, right? Are you following me on that? So, the Trinity came from Jesus Christ. Yeah, can blame him more, because what he also said, I go to the Father, before, you know, I'll send the Comforter. So there's the Father, there's the Comforter, and there's me. No wonder Lord Abraham spoke the truth when he said, without the Holy Ghost baptism, you will not understand the Bible. And I believe it's true. Because it is the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. And the one who wrote it was the one that's going to unfold it. You understand what I'm saying? The love letter that is written by a man in love with a girl, with all the way that is written, anybody who read it, the mother of the girl reading it, or whoever read the letter, would not be able to understand, because it's written in such a way that only the girl will understand. So now, this measure that Paul is talking about, don't try to be, you know, when we talk about cultivation of knowledge to show forth your faith, But you cannot, what you call, impressed people. You cannot force yourself, or impress. Okay, for example, you come to church, put on a good show, put on a good face, put on a holy, manner. Everybody looking at you, oh wow, she's very spiritual, he's very spiritual. But outside the church, different. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if there's a lot of impression, you cannot. You be yourself. You are given a measure. Remember the measure of faith? The Bible, the disciples told us, ask you to give us, increase our faith. Jesus said that if you have the faith of mustard seed, right? So the mortar be removed, you will be done. Because what? That mustard seed, no matter how small, it is the smallest of all seeds, I was told, about the herbal plants, and it's so small. Again, when it plants, it grows in a very big tree. Good size tree. I don't say that it's as you as a cedar wood, cedar tree or something like that. But it grows a big size tree. Maybe 8 feet high, 9 feet high, but it's good size. Come on, that mustard seed. It grows. Faith that's given you, how small an amount that you have, it grows. But you don't try to force it. When you haven't even yet grown up into the two leaves, into a small little plant, you try to make yourself already producing flowers and whatever else. Now, you don't try to impress people. Be yourself. And so I oversee the ministers, I told them, if you're called to be a pastor, just be a pastor. Don't try to impress that you are somebody else other than a pastor. Because God has given you that position. God has given you that measure. You see, when you try to impress the church, or even your fellow people, your relatives up there, your family members, do you know what happened? When you fall, you bring the whole family with you. That's right. You be as you are. Now, I see this many times. When a boy and a girl, try dating each other, they all try to put on a good front. Huh? You have no girlfriend yet, have you? Have you got a girlfriend yet? No, yet, of course. You see, when you have girlfriend or you have boyfriend, and you first know each other, you try to put on the front. That's a fact. Now you ask me, Rega, you do it? Of course I did. Now if I want to put on a good front. You see, the problem is that if you put on a good front, in the end, you find yourself in trouble. Well, there are people that put on those. They're trying to impress so badly that after the marriage, things happen very quickly. Because when you impress, there is deception. Do you know what I'm saying? And usually the person who put on the front are the one that causes the most problem. And it's very sad. So the same thing with Christian life. If you put on the front, others who are not in the family may not see. You get the point? But when things happen, you will be exposed and you'll be a disaster. So, be original, be humble. Be original, be humble. Be sincere. All this year, y'all know me, huh? I don't put on the show. If I'm that upset, you can see that I'm upset. When I need to rebuild, I have to rebuild. But I don't know, but I'm happy, I rejoice in that two persons have recently just brought to my knowledge. No, I've just met the person just a few times, and even on the Facebook. But again, we found you to be a very humble person. I said, really? Yeah. Oh, thank you. You see, the thing is this, that why do people say Brother Bam was humble? Because if they, Brother Bam don't put on the, what do you call, a smarter, more intelligent, a holier than thou attitude, a great man of God attitude, you think, you know. You act yourself, that you say, because in that way you are original. There is only one Yingfang. There is only one Zoel. There is only one Jimmy. And your life is what you are, how you make of it, right? The message that you have in the body of Christ, you live that life and let it grow. That life of the faith will be real. And don't say, you don't have to say that, look, I have brotherly kindness. Huh? I have temperance, I have patience. The light will show. Your concern for one another will show. Like I have, yeah, in my family. Not my family, I mean my father's family. There are six of us. Five boys and one girl. You know? Yeah, we have a lot of dispute when we were young. We, you know, argue one another perhaps and things like that. But once the Holy Spirit takes control, and I always remember, you know, going by in time machine, and my time machine is up here. You know, you go back to the day when I went back to the day when I received the gospel. I became a changer because the Spirit was so real. Mm-hmm. And immediately at that time, as I said this before, we were poor. We all each were given 10 cents, 15 cents, you know, per day for our snack or our food, whatever, when we go to school. So, what is mine is mine. But when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ at before the age of 12, hey, something got a hold of me. I came home one day, I passed by a snack shop. I bought, well, in those days, 5 cents is bigger. You know, 5 cents, do you know that we can, our 1 cent, we still use those 1 cent, the square 1 cent, those days, 1 cent can buy us two candy. Two coconut candies. So, I bought 5 cents or 10 cents, I can't remember now, what we call this dried Asian chewing gum. Well, you know what the Asian chewing gum is? Yeah, it is the cuttlefish, the squid, the dried one. You know? And I bought it and, you know, those days we use old newspaper to wrap things, you all know, huh? So I wrapped it up and got size about this amount. And I brought it home to share with my brothers and my brothers and sisters. You know, I don't know what took a hold of me. It's just so strange, the feeling of that life coming upon me, and I just react. Otherwise, if I don't have that life, hey, this is mine, only for myself. So if I go home and eat, nobody, you know what I'm saying? This thing took a hold of me. And even now, my sister in America, so only we have five boys here in Singapore. My younger brother, Christopher, had an accident, so, you know, and the wife had to struggle to take care of him. And so me and the brother, we do our share to contribute something, but what you all did in the past, you contribute. Yeah. So now, left to the brother, we do all I can to contribute every month to help him. That is what love is about. That is what, you see, somebody in the need to take care. The Bible says you see a poor man, he's asking you for food or asking you for clothing, and you say, God bless you, and you leave him alone. Right? That's something wrong with that. But when I said that, those of you overseas listening to me, that's me, yeah, Brother, I need some money for food. Send me every month. No, I don't have that kind of food. Money to send you every month. And I always remind you, I said this, God, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And many times I see a lot of beggars out there who have legs and hands, they're still begging. I says, what happened? I don't give it to them like this. You have hands and feet, work! No work, no food. But Brother God, we are so poor, that's not... Hey, I remember when I was small. Huh? Before I was Christian. Do you know what I did to make some money? I went out the street looking for scrap metals. Iron nails, tin can, and collect them and go over to those scrap yards and sell to the man. And get 10 cents, 5 cents. Work! And I was a hawker. I sell food. Go to door, selling spring roll. Carrying the pot, two pots, with chili sauce and black sauce. Going all the way, if you remember where Queenstown in Fort Square is, all the way to the other end, at Alexander, the very end of Alexander Road, the Havelock Road near to where Havelock Road is. Walk miles! You know, how will we kill a person? But laziness, slothfulness will kill a person. That is right. A sluggard, the Bible called it. So be sincere. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 onward. We read the whole of this passage here and pick up something here. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you by being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which thing of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. So here Paul is talking about his spiritual authority here. You know, some people say, oh, Paul is the, it is not what he is. And that he live according to the flesh. The word verse 3, we walk, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. The word walk in is correct. We walk in the flesh, that means to say that we are human. We walk as human. We don't walk as if we are angels of God, something like that. We walk in the flesh, but we do not walk after the flesh. So Paul is saying that we do not walk after the flesh. The word in is different from the word after. Though we walk in the flesh, we say, well, we are human, do not walk after the flesh like a kind of man. And therefore our warfare are not, you know, physical. Arguing this and that, fighting over this and that, so to speak. Because the weapons of warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual. So Paul is just saying that. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God to the putting down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having in a... Yeah, I think this verse 5, it's so true about this imagination. People who exalt, the spirit exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So, just imagine how that there are people that come against me and then, you know, burn up my books and they lie. I still remember how this preacher in Nigeria could lie. You know, one way that you want to get people's attention is, you know, to put down things that you are against, that you don't believe. You know, this minister, I was preaching in his church, I was there, I was invited to preach in his church, but because he took side with a Canadian preacher who supplied him with the money of this, you know, to be a beautiful church. But what happened to this African preacher today, Nigerian preacher? What happened to him today? He's no more. He has become the chief of a tribe. You see, how did he lie to the people? To influence the people to his side. He told the whole congregation, I dream that I saw these white papers and booklets coming down from the top of the church down upon the people. And people are thinking of reading it. And God says, take those booklets and those papers and burn it. They're false doctrines, false teaching. And said, they are the book of Word again, Richard Gann, prophetic revelation, and a contender for Brother Jackson. So they took the book, they took the contender, and they put it. Because the preacher said, he had a dream, God said so. I mean, a lot of people use God's name in vain. They say, God told me this, God showed me this, God give me this dream, that dream. Wow. One day it's through here casting the imaginary of every high thing that exalted itself. That Paul's authority is against all these lies too. Huh? That's what happened in Singapore. How many of them has been against me? Destroy my church by lying to the people out there in Malacca? Took away my book and contender and burn it away, throw it somewhere on the roadside as you come home to Singapore. Huh? And yet again, of course, another brother who left and was with us years ago. And tell me about all kinds of visions and dreams. Well, I know that it's just a fiction of his magic, but I don't want to say anything. The one day when he had a real dream, he asked me to interpret it. I think I already told you this. Of his dream about he was out there preaching. He said, Brother Dan, they took a hold of me and forced me to wear a robe of half silver and half green and throw me into the prison. Then the next moment I found myself again preaching. And again, there took a hold of me and forced me to wear a robe of half silver, half brown. The first one was half silver, half green, but now it's half silver, half brown. And they threw me into prison again. Then, Brother Gunn, I woke from the dream. Can you interpret this dream for me? I told him, I said, Brother, I can only tell you one part of this. That silver is the word of God. The rest, let's leave it and let's see how God unfolds it. So, after a few months, well, you know, we have a brother from Oakland, Brother Ernest Horton, who came to minister to us. You see, this brother who was looking, you know, who told me the dream, He had in his heart, I discerned it, that he had the desire, because he told me, he said, oh, you know, I was waiting for God to confirm me, this and that. And I know that he wanted God to confirm his ministry, that he was called to evangelist. So when the brother Horton came from Oakland, I think that was in the year 19, when we were at Timbuktu 19 Yeah, Joao was little. 1978, I think. Yeah, 1978. Back then. So he came in, ministered the word, and preached. Still had this pulpit. This pulpit was the one was made at that time when I was working in the hospital. So he ministered. After the ministering, he asked the people to pray, because Brother Houghton believed in a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting praying. So everybody, most of everyone, I believe, was either sitting down, those they're not, but most of them were kneeling down where the chair was and used as an altar. And Brother Houghton left the pulpit and started to minister unto them. Me, I was just at the pulpit praying, and I was standing in front of this pulpit. And on my right hand side was the organ. And that brother was playing the organ. I don't want to mention that name. He was playing the organ. So I was standing there, and I was just praying. As Brother Houghton went on, I was praying for everybody, was praying. So after maybe about 10, 15 minutes, the Lord spoke to me and says, prophesy over him. And I opened my eyes and looked at him. He was at the organ, quietly praying. I says, no, Lord, I won't prophesy over him until he comes and kneel before me and just altar him. So we continued to pray, worship. My eye was closed, just praying. Next moment I opened my eye, he was kneeling right down in front of me. He was kneeling right down in front of me. And I know that that's the time to give him the prophecy. The very odd thing is this. I went to the organ, where the Bible, his Bible was. I took the Bible from the organ, opened up the Bible, just like this, and wrapped the Bible around his hand. He was holding, he was just praying. I wrapped it down around his hand, and I prophesied. You know, the thing is this, when I prophesied, the first part of it, the Lord said to him, you are called into the ministry of being evangelist. But when somehow or other, that's one of the things I want to remind the church. When there's a prophecy going on, don't raise your voice and say hallelujah, amen, and everybody, that's what happened that night. And brother and sister all start to raise the voice, not to raise louder. And I'm trying to prophesy and hope that this brother hears it. And I raise my voice even louder, and the even louder come from the floor. Oh my. And this brother, I guess he heard the first part, and then the rest is insignificant. Because I was just in front of him, he could actually hear it. But apparently he didn't. So what happened? After a few weeks, he called me up and said, Brother, I want to come and talk to you. You know? I said, sure, come over. He came. And he told me in the room, he said, Brother, do you remember the dream and the vision? He used the word vision. He liked to use the word vision. I mentioned to you to ask you to interpret, and you could not interpret it. I said, Brother, you have told me a lot of visions and dreams. I don't know which one you're talking about. Then he described the whole thing. I said, I didn't interpret to you. He said, no, we didn't. You didn't. And the Holy Spirit that gave me the song, he wrote one song. He said, the Holy Spirit that gave me this, the song, is the same Spirit that interpreted this dream for me. My goodness, I wrote how many songs? Not only just the four songs I wrote, I have written short chorus and add to other chorus. But I don't use that to vindicate. You know what I'm saying? You cannot, nobody, not even Brother Branham, can say it. You see, I raised the dead. That means I'm a man of God. My word is true. Can you say that? Don't forget, Jenner and Jambros could even perform it. Right? False Christ, false prophet can do it. That is not vindication. But he used that to vindicate. Then what happened? And then I said, he wanted to interpret. He said, Brother, I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit said to me about this vision. He said, no, hold on a minute. I remember that I interpreted to you that day when you came to me just one part. No, you did not. I said, I did. Do you remember I said that the silver was the word of God? Oh, yes, yes, yes. That you said that. But you didn't interpret the rest. I said, I didn't. But the prophecy that was given to you when that brother, Brother Houghton, came, the interpretation to that dream was given to you in the pulpit. I said, no, Brother Dan. I said, you didn't hear it. Let me give you the prophecy. Do you remember the prophet said that you are called to be a man? Yes, Brother Dan, I heard that. I said, did you hear the rest? No. The rest of the prophecy, I said, remember it. I said that the Bible that I said, I wrapped around your hand. I said, the Lord called you to be an evangelist. And wherever you go, you minister the word. Be very careful. Because everywhere you go, you minister the word of God. You are hearing, wherever you go, you visit those churches. And when you hear what is being ministered in the pulpit, be very careful how you hear. Because if you don't hear it right, you're mixing the word, and this word of God will fall from you. And I let the Bible drop onto the floor. Now, what do I do then? You know, that was never on my mind. You understand what I'm saying? It comes so naturally. I took this Bible, what did I turn to him? What did God, when God said, you prophesy over here, I said, no, until he comes near before me. And the next 5 minutes or so, when he knelt before me, I just went to the organ, took his Bible, opened it up, and rubbed his hand and prophesied, and then let it drop. I said, do you remember that? I guess he doesn't remember his sins. But I said, let me interpret to you the dream right now. I said, remember, you fly. You go to Amsterdam, you go to Hong Kong, you go to Auckland, whatever place SIA takes you. And you go to visit that churches, these churches, and you hear all the teaching. And if you're not careful, you are hearing words that are mixed with the word of man. And that's where the danger is. He said, they caught hold of you. They are spirits. Force you to wear a robe of half silver, half green. See, that's the word of God mixed with the word of man, which is green. Green means something that is growing, like a sapling. Next moment you are caught again. Now it becomes brown instead of green. Half silver, half brown. Brown, as you see, when a sapling grows up, it becomes a tree and you've got brown branches, brown trunk. There's no third part of vision because why? You find your result. And he said, no, Brother Gunn, that's not what the Holy Spirit interpreted for me. I said, okay, you interpret it. What the Holy Spirit told you. So the Holy Spirit told me that the green belongs to Sam. So no, that was so kind of. And the brown is you. And you are the most dangerous because you're very subtle, you're very smart to control the people because you're not going to learn spirit. You see, he was influenced by the minister from America. I still have the man's book. It's a booklet called Mysteries of Iniquity. And there are some brother out there in the Philippines that are doing it now. He said, if any person in the church called a pastor, Pastor Gan, Pastor Lim, Pastor whatever, that's nickel terrorism. That's nickel-leotanism. That's the spirit of nickel-leotanism. So you don't call your pastor. Call him brother. To call him pastor is Nicolaitan spirit controlling. Wow. What if you call the brother apostle so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so? That's not Nicolaitan. I said the word pastor. You see, this whole thing are men's... I don't know what's coming on with these people now. And this book, Mission Equity, read by this brother, And he's preaching in the church before he left. That they are only fourfold ministry. I told you this before. They believe in a fourfold ministry, not five. And how did this man arrive at that? He, the man, the author of the book, talked to me. I want him to be a big man because the white people, sometimes they project themselves so important. He talked to me. He said, you know, Brother Ken, this book, I've given it to the Methodist church, Methodist organization. And they read it, they replied, it is exactly right. You need an organization to what? What do you call that? To endorse it. I said, how do you arrive that pastor and teacher one? Because of the word Kai. Pastor Kai, K-A-I, Greek word N. Teacher means one. I said, okay, you got it. I said, what does it mean when the Bible says the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Pharisees, Kai, Sadducees, are they one or two? And then you have the Sadducees and the scribe. Are they one or two? So you have Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribe. Are they one or three? He kept his mouth shut. You know what? A lot of people think they know a whole lot. But they are not humble enough to understand the Bible. You see, God gave me this ministry. I have to do it. I'm compelled by the Lord to do it. It's just that you are being compelled by God to love it. To love the Word. I didn't force myself to want to be a preacher. You know, if I have a choice, I'd rather sit down. There's a whole lot of responsibility teaching the Word of God, standing in the pulpit, because they're going to stand before God in the last day and give an account. Do you understand? And I told the brother, you're saying that the green is Sam and brown is me. And because I'm, he said, you're, because you're more mature, you're more subtle, you're able to control the people, Sam is a greenhorn. And so he wears the green and the silver. He doesn't know how to control his people. There's the whole church broken out. Blah, 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 blah. I said, brother, this dream is yours. You are the one that's made captive. So how can you represent the church? How can you represent Sam's church? How can you represent my church? You are the one who's being held captive. Are you a woman that represents the church? Because a man don't represent the church. Do you know what I'm saying? In the end, I don't know what he believed. And he said, brother, I want to preach a last message before I leave. I said, go ahead. And he stood in the pulpit. He preached a four ministry. And behind my back, he started calling up some brothers and sisters on the phone. No wonder Paul is saying, we are casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are people not obeying it? Why is it so hard? But Paul has authority. Let's finish quickly now. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Every one of you, if you are obedient to the word of God, there's no problem. If you are disobedient, then Paul said, I have to use my authority. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him on himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. There are a lot of people that say, Paul, you're nothing, man. Paul doesn't look like, you know, according to what the Bible says, it's possible not to be a very strict person. You see, he's looked very humble, kind of a meek, kind of a, you know, a person who doesn't know what he's doing or whatever. But you know, Paul said, but they say, this is what Paul said, they say when I'm absent in the body, I become very strict. I rebuild through the writing of the word. For though I should boast somewhat more than our authority which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as I would terrify you by letters. His letter is very terrifying, alright. Huh? For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. But his body present is weak and his speech, contemptible. So Paul seemed to be, to a lot of people, Paul, doesn't know how to speak. Maybe like Brother Branham. You know how Brother Branham stuttered and he said, he's kind of humble. Paul said that what they say concerning him, but his letter is powerful. Let's say the main thing is that such as we are in words per letter, when we are absent, so will we be also indeed when we are present. But don't think so, because when it comes time for me to rebuild, I rebuild. For we dare not make ourselves of numbers or compare ourselves with some that commended themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, comparing, are not wise. So there are a lot of preachers today that are comparing themselves by themselves, measuring against who and so better and all this. That's what Paul then said. We will not boast of things beyond our measure. Why do you want to compare yourself with another man and all this, that better than that person? Why? How can you be how can you go beyond your measure? You cannot. Be as you are. Right? 14. Finish off the next few verses. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you as in preaching the gospel of Christ, not more boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the region beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things make ready to our hand. For he that glory like him, glory in the Lord. For not he that commended himself is approved, but whom the Lord commended by his vindication of the word of God in you. That is what it should mean. Do you understand the last part? He that commend himself is approved. Don't commend yourself. Oh, I'm so good, I know this, I know that, I know this. Do you get the point? By whom the Lord commended and healed. Whom he commended? By his vindication of his God's word that is in you. That's how he commanded you. Your life, your action, of the faith that you have in you. You see? So may the Lord bless his word. Let's stop here and finish our next week. Father, thank you, Lord. Time is marching on, Father, to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to set up his kingdom upon this earth. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that which we have received from you. Once again, we thank you. Bless your word. Take the word, Father, that we have received from you, and ingrain it, O Lord, and graft it into our heart. The Lord, we can grow faithfully into a member of family of God that truly is a part of that family of love, of agape. Because, Lord, you being real, and we being your children, and knowing our calling and our election, to manifest that seed life that you have so graciously, Lord, given to us, and let it die in the ground and bring forth much fruit. So that, let that life, O Father, be in our life, and our life living that faith. Asking you, Lord, for your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen.